So Psalm 127, the Songs of Ascent. And this is the first of Solomon. Solomon did two of these. This is a Song of Ascent of Solomon. Well-known psalm. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. We'll end our reading at the end of this psalm, Psalm 127. A good psalm, and I look forward to looking at that with you. Appreciate that. Let's just come before God, a brief word of prayer. Loving Father, we come now to your word. We pray that you would speak to us from it, and it would come to us very much as the word of God, with the authority of the word of God, to both challenge and to encourage. We pray that you'd speak to us now at our point of need. In Jesus' name, amen. About 10 years ago in 2012, the BBC ran a story, and it was in that story, it was talking about a business that seemed to be taking off, that seemed to be just beginning to blossom and to begin to grow. This is the business. Hold on, go back here. That, not that. That. Pawnbrokers. Pawnbrokers were knowing an upsurge in business. They were saying one new pawnbroker was opening up every week in the UK. People were falling on hard times, finding it difficult to make ends meet, and they were turning to pawnbrokers to help them through a lean period. Now, how pawnbrokers work, I mean, it's basically, it's you go to a pawnbroker to borrow money on the strength of the item that you're handing in. It can be a watch, or it can be jewellery, it can be a piece of equipment. I remember there was one in Edinburgh I was always intrigued by, because they had loads of power tools and stuff in the window, and I thought, wow, there's stuff there, and you would look at it, and so forth. And basically, the idea is, they will value your item, they will give you money based on that, and you're not so much selling it, you're handing it over, and you have the option to buy that back. Once things get a bit easier, you buy it back with interest, of course. They have to make some money, so you might pay £100 and you have to pay back £130, whatever that is, to get that thing that's valuable to you, to get that back. One couple, I think at the time, a married couple, sold their wedding ring. And the way they looked at it was, they're not borrowing money, they're borrowing time. They're just saying, you can have this. Once I'm back on my feet, I will surely come back and I'll buy this. If over a certain period of time you don't redeem this, then the pawnbroker will put it in the window and it's up for sale to anybody who wants to buy it. That way they get their money back plus interest. So that's the way pawnbrokers work. You could have said that this was today, couldn't you? It was maybe 10 years ago, but it's very much applicable to today. The high cost of living. How do we survive? The country, many people are struggling just to pay bills. We travelled up to Edinburgh, on Thursday night and come back, and yesterday, couldn't believe the price of fuel as you're putting it in. I'm going, wow, these numbers never stopping. It just seemed to be such an expense. Everything's more expensive. And some people who were already struggling are really struggling. How do we survive? How can we make life easier? How can we deal with that? And that is the topic of our sermon, of this passage this morning. It's dealing with life. It's dealing with life's issues. Decisions that you have to make. How can you survive? How can you bless yourself in this life? And that's what we're looking at this morning. We're continuing our series of studies in these psalms, these 15 songs of ascent that were sung 3 times a year. Remember, they're to be sung. They're not morbid. We're supposed to sing these songs. and we were looking at these. You remember I said that they're grouped in threes. They come as a triad. The first of them, Psalm 120, begins with some form of hostility. Lord, I'm going through a hard time. Then the next psalm that comes after that is, my help comes from the Lord. And then the third of the triad or the trilogy speaks of homecoming. There'll come a time when all of these things will be better. Well, last time you remember, we looked at Psalm 126. And that began another set of three. Hostility, time of difficulty. And we looked at restore our fortunes, O Lord. Lord, we can look back to a time when we knew greater joy, greater blessing, greater, we laughed, our mouths were filled with joy, but it's not like that now. And we looked at that. It was quite an emotional sermon, certainly last week, just looking back and seeing, Lord, can you not restore us back to those days? Now we come to the second and help, you could say, that's a problem. Here is the help, where our help comes from. It's a well-known psalm, Psalm 1. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. We often quote this in prayer. And we often just relate this to the church. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. And although that's partly true, because it's part of life, it's not really what the psalm is about. It is about building a home, you could say, not just a house of God, but it's very much looking at the whole of life, the brevity of all aspects of life, which includes church. It includes your church life. Better would be home. We talk about when you have a house, you want to make it a home. When all your wee trinkets are there and it becomes homely. Building a house is not just a church, or it's about your job, your money, your career, your family, your children, your university fees, your holidays, your policies that you have in drawers. Your whole life is encapsulated in your house. It's amazing what's there, your certificates that you did things with. It's all there. And that's what this psalm is dealing with. It's dealing with such a big thing. It's dealing with your life. It's one of the psalmists, I think he's called this, about, the success in life or whatever. It's just basically life's fortunes. It's where the tire hits the road. But what it does is, it's not giving us commands. It's not telling us do this and don't do that. What it's telling us here is basically, it reminds us that every aspect of life, the life we try to carve out for ourselves, make prosperous, make secure, we need to hand that over to the Lord. That's what the psalm teaches us. You cannot do it yourself. Unless the Lord builds your life, we labor in vain. It is as big as that. It is a massive, massive verse. So that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want us to look at the psalm and giving it the title, Unless the Lord Builds a House. Two main headings. First of all, prosperity. The psalm divides naturally into two. And the first one is talking about prosperity. Unless the Lord builds the house, your home, your life, the builders labor in vain, unless the Lord watches over the city, spreading out from you to the community. The guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early, in vain you stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. So this house is all we do, and there's nothing wrong in these things. There's nothing wrong in pursuing these things. There's nothing wrong in running after a house, a home, furniture, creature comforts, your garden, your car, your family, your job, your holidays, your investments. There's nothing wrong with this. We need to go about this. What the psalm is teaching us here is we dare not try to do this ourselves. We dare not try to carve out a life for ourselves without any reference to God, without God doing this. Unless he builds it, we will labor in vain. The principle for prosperity is this. Put very simply, we need the Lord to build our houses. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards are wasting their time. The words in Latin in this are nisi dominus frustra. This is the coat of arms of Edinburgh. This is where we've just come from. This is what they used to hold. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. Cities move completely away from that, not interested in God. But in the 1600s, 1648, they adopted this. The translation is basically, without the Lord, frustration. And I like that. In other words, if the Lord isn't part of your life, building your life, you will simply be frustrated. It's saying more. This psalm is saying more. The Lord will help you. It's saying more than that. It's saying you need the Lord to be your architect and builder. You need him to design your life, where you're going, whether it's Telecutria, whatever. The Lord is the architect of our faith. He plans it. He brings it out. But he does this with your life. He needs to be the architect of your life. He will design it. He will bring it to pass. It's a big psalm. I mean, it was great. Esther's faith just shining out. Such confidence. That is what this is very much saying as well. And unless we acknowledge that, we labour in vain. Now, the word vain here doesn't mean the same as it does in Ecclesiastes, that vanity, all is vanity, so forth. It's all useless. The actual word here means deceitful. It's, in other words, he says, unless the Lord builds your house, you're kidding yourself on if you think you can do it. If you think you can build your life without God, you are kidding yourself on. Deceitful. You are delusional. And it's as big as that. It is such a big verse. It's interesting to know who wrote this. This is Solomon. If there was anybody in the Old Testament you think was very assured, the master of his own destiny, who sorted his life out, it was him. He had wisdom. He had wives. He had wealth. He had projects going. He had a palace. He had houses. He had concubines, many wives, and so forth. And yet, he writes this. Unless the Lord builds your life, you are kidding yourself on if you think you can do it. It is such a big verse. It reminded me of Grand Designs. That's a program I love. I could watch Grand Designs from morning to night. It's one of my favorite programs. If you've never seen it, it's people in their late 30s or whatever, and it always begins, where we are, we're high flyers, he's an architect, I'm doing something, and we're going to build this house on this piece of land, and this is where it's going to go, and we're going to channel this out, we're going to put this here, and it's going to be eco-friendly, there'll be glass, and there'll be, and it just looks wow. And they all set off, and they've worked it out, the budget, and he'll talk to them, and it always sets off great, and it just sounds good, and you see the wee model going up, wow, that looks good. And then as time goes on, it gets harder than they thought, without exception. It wouldn't make good TV if it just happened, but it gets harder. And then they're beginning to get more and more frustrated, and often tears. And it cost a lot more than they anticipated. And things never went as smoothly as they anticipated. And sometimes they'll say, I wish I'd never started this. That is a life lived without reference to God. We can plan what we're going to do, but unless the Lord does it, it will just be frustration and anxiety and so forth. The house that we build comes with work and worry. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. There's nothing wrong with hard work, but the whole point is trying to do this without the Lord. The house that the Lord builds is stress-free. It's supposed to be stress-free. Two different lifestyles. You remember Mary and Martha, when there was much busyness and Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, Lord, don't you care? Look at my life. It's stressful. I'm doing all this stuff. And Jesus says, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, to sit at my feet and to be calm and to learn of me. That's the life the Lord wants for us. He doesn't want us to be pulling our hair out in stress. That's not God's plan. That's your plan, worry and stress and staying up late and having an ulcer, wondering how things are going. That's the way I do it. but we need to sit at the Lord's feet. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything. That's almost a verse of the Bible you think, really? That's just a way out there. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, whole life is lived in anxiety, wondering what's happening to the church or to family, to friends, to whatever. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. God wants us to rest in Him. Life is not meant to be as stressful as we make it. We're too busy running ahead of Him. Look at verse 2. In vain you rise up early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for He grants sleep. He, in the midst of life, he wants us to sleep. He wants us to rest. He grants it. He gives you this peace. The antidote to worry and to work is to put God's plan first. How do we deal with this? Jesus told a parable, you remember, that highlights the fact that we too often focus on our house, our home, and not the things of God. And this is why we sometimes make life harder for ourselves. Matthew 6, do not worry about your life. Here it is, your life. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink or your body, what you will wear. Is life not more important than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they neither sow nor reap. Your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more valuable are you than they? Who can by worrying add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field. I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not dressed like one of these. Then he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry what we shall eat or what we shall drink, what we shall wear, for the pagans run after these things. And what comes next? But, he says, in the midst of the don't worry. We like that. Don't tell me to worry. But the Lord says, don't worry, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And sometimes we are too busy building our own house. We do not always refer to, Lord, what do you want in the midst of this? Lord, what is your will? How can I seek your will? Put your will first, then all these things will be given to me. If I worry about what you want, I won't be worrying about these other things. It is as real as that. I was reading Proverbs recently. There's a verse that I came across when I was first saved. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I think the key bit in that is not just don't worry, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Bring the Lord into every decision. Lord, is this what you would have me do? Is this what I should do? Lord, should I do this? And consciously seek His face. Because we need all these things. We need pensions. We need insurance policies. We buy a hairdryer. We want it to work a year at least. We buy things and we want things. And we're naturalists. Nothing wrong with that wee vase that John Lewis sell that you've got your eye on. You think that would be great. But in everything, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Be anxious for nothing, but bring everything before Him. Make Him the center. It's an attitude thing. Make Him the center of all your decisions, the center of your life. And all these other things will be yours. That's how we sometimes, our house, our plan can be in conflict with God's plan. And we need to know that we are walking with Him. So put Him first in all your plans. That's the one thing. If we only could give our girls one verse for their life, to live their life by, it is that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. And I was delighted that they went through university, serving the local church every Sunday. They were there playing music, doing Sunday school, whatever. Never studied on a Sunday. They said, Dad, Mum, we'd like to thank you for encouraging us not to study on a Sunday. We're not legalistic about this, but I says, look, study on a Saturday, don't study on a Sunday. And the Lord honoured them in that. The Lord is no man's debtor. Whenever we put God first and His word and obey God's word, the Lord will bless. He will lead us and He will guide us. He does this. Life and labour are a matter of collaboration with God. Always give yourself fully, this is 1 Corinthians 15, to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Alec Motier says this. He talks about we in his commentary. He says, we live our whole lives within the ordinances of rules of creation. In other words, there's a created order. Everything depends on the place we accord to the Creator. He has organized the world and ordained our lives in a created order. It is our responsibility to provide for home and city, to build, to guard, to conform to what has been the creation ordinance of daily work. But to do so with our eyes constantly fixed on the Creator, to obey His directive of 6 days' work, one day rest, and so forth. We are to understand that prospering is not in essence the consequence of skill, commitment, and application, but of God blessing us. It is not down to you to bless yourself. We need God to bless us. As He blesses His creation and the sun comes and the flowers come up and the birds tweet and the fish swim, we seem to think, thank you, Lord, you created us and it's up to me now. Our eyes are always on the Creator as if we were a bird. It's the way He's created us. Only He can cause us to flourish. The greatest project, probably and certainly in the ancient world, was a complete disaster. You remember that? When all the skills were brought together and they built the Tower of Babel. We will do this, we will make a name for ourselves, and this is what we're going to do. And we're still trying to recover from that disaster, confusion of languages and so forth. Here was skill coming together. We need the Lord to build our house, personally, religiously, or whatever. I wonder if you can affirm that this morning. Lord, perhaps I'm staying up late, I'm working late, but no reference to you. Secondly, and very quickly, preservation. The second half is to do with preservation. It's one thing to be anxious about your life and it begins to take off. What about the future? Can you hold on to this? Whenever we buy something, we want a guarantee, a car. Is it going to last? Am I going to be able to maintain this lifestyle? Are the pensions in place? What about my job? How long is it going to last? What about my family? What about my friends? What about my health? So we put alarm systems in, we get full comprehensive insurance, we have pensions, life and holiday insurance, and so forth. Guarantees for all the appliances. In society, we want a good economy, secure health, hospitals, dentists, police service, fire and ambulance, good cleansing things. We want to maintain things. It's one thing to affirm that God can take you this far. Can He take you further? Can He sustain you? And this is the concern that they had. Exact same concern as 2022. Will the Lord keep them secure? Hence the reference to watchmen. Lord, we like our city. We thank you for the city. We thank you that you've led us. But we better protect it. And we stick watchmen. And here we see the mention of watchmen and children. And children here are compared to arrows. It's very much speaking of defense. It's as if there's a baby, there's a boy, great, that's another arrow. That will stop the bad guys. I've got 12 sons and they're all standing there with loads of arrows. This is going to protect it. That's the picture you have here. Picture of the future. Picture of moving on. How can we know this? What is the principle here? If the principle for prosperity is give your life every day consciously over to God, seek His face for your prosperity. Do not build without reference to Him, and do not build without thinking of what He would have you do personally. So what is it, the principle for preservation? This section teaches us that the outcome and security of our lives depend on God. They depend, as the prosperity begins, it depends on Him. So does the outcome, so does the future. Not just the present, but the future. Alec Motier says this, if we are to grasp what verses 3 and 5 are saying, We must start by reminding ourselves what the Bible teaches about conceiving a baby. We start with Genesis 29 and 30. It says, two sisters, Leah and Rachel. The impression is given that Leah conceived on their honeymoon, and Rachel, Jacob's other love, wife, favorite wife, remained for a significant length of time without children. What's important is this. It's the way the Bible explains the differences between the two. It didn't just say, oh, she was lucky. Oh, poor girl. God was involved. When it comes to conception, the Bible's clear, and it's in this. The Lord opened Leah's womb, whereas the frustrated Rachel, who gave Jacob a hard time and says, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? He was dead right. Only God can give children. In other words, this, the Creator has put things into creation of cause and effect. You do this, this happens. But in this area, and what he's saying, like sexual intercourse could lead to conception and children, but he retains the effectiveness of our plans and of our security and what we try and do. The effectiveness he remains, he keeps hold of. You can run around and do A, B, C, D, E, but he will retain the effectiveness of what you do. It's what he has kept to himself. That's a wake-up call if you think you can plan your own life. We need him. In other words, he will determine the number of arrows you have, not just children, but he will determine how protective you will be. That might mean that life could be hard. He might remove the arrows, and for a time you appear to be assaulted. Life seems to be hard, but he is still in control. Children are a heritage, a reward. He retains the ability to decide the keeping and the quality of our life. The outcome depends on him. Let me just close by reminding you of Samuel. This is 1 Samuel 7. This is the Philistines. They heard that the Israelites were assembling. And they said to Samuel, the people, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hands of the Philistines. And then Samuel took a suckling lamb, sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering. He offered this as a sacrifice. Then the Lord worked and the Lord delivered them. And you remember after this, Samuel took a stone, set it up between Mizpah and Shen. Do you remember what he named the stone? Ebenezer. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Thus far, to this very point, has the Lord helped us. That is the principle which we live our life. Thus far. Lucille and I were wondering about the future, where we're going, what we're going to do. But one thing we're constantly rejoicing, to this point, we cannot point one finger and say, Lord, you failed us there. It never happened like Esther and Samuel. They've known the Lord's help to this time. And although the future is still uncertain, for the church, for us, for them, we know that the Lord has to lead and has to build and has to bless. And not only that, he has to keep. He has to not only prosper us, but preserve us going forward. And a whole life is one of thus far, Ebenezer. Some churches call themselves this, Ebenezer Christian Fellowship or whatever. I always think it's a weird name because I never know what folk outside understand Ebenezer to be. But for us, we know what it means. Thus far, Ebenezer Baptist Church, you could call. Thus far has the Lord helped us. How does we look to him to lead and to guide? It's not down to your pension fund, primarily. It's not down to these things. The Lord will lead and guide, and it will not always be easy. So this psalm is about humanity's basic insecurities. That's what this reveals. It's about our basic insecurities. We cannot forge a life for ourselves, despite staying up late and working. And the Lord is the focus. Our help, our strength will come from him. It's a call to the individual to trust God and to respect his will for us, whatever that might be. Unless he builds, we labor in vain. Let him plan your life. Seek his face. Let him build your life. And let him preserve your life. Let him determine how successful we are. Let him mould us and shape us. And if the Lord helps you in this, tell others about this. We live in a society that's stressed beyond belief. Tell them about a God who's able to lead you from here to here and to bless. Let's stand and we'll sing our closing song. He will hold me fast.